Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Tom, and I want you to think as we start today about your cell phone plan or your utility plan or your insurance or Canada Revenue Agency or something along those lines, and you want to change something. So I had to wanted to do this a few weeks ago, and I went on the website to try to change something and began the journey towards change, I would call it. And the journey begins by clicking their little question mark thing if you want help. And they direct you to their frequently asked questions first. So you go through their frequently asked questions and they hope that you find your answer there. And if you don't get your answer there, then you can chat with a virtual assistant, which is basically a computer program that you kind of type back and forth with, and the program looks for keywords to try to direct you to the right place. And if that doesn't work, they offer you chat with a real person, like live chat. So you're not talking to a real person, but you're chatting with them, so typing messages back and forth on the computer. And you try and get that your thing settled there. If that doesn't work, they offer you a phone number. And so, great, great, great victory. Got a phone number, gonna call, talk to an actual person, phone, and then you have to go through their menu. If you want this, choose one. If you want that, choose two. And then you press the button, and you're waiting for that person, and on comes a message. All of our customer service agents are busy at the moment, but we'll get to you as soon as we can. And then you go to their wonderful music that you listen to for a while, and then you get a message, we really appreciate your call, please hold on the line and we'll get to you as soon as we can. And then they give you some advertisements, and finally someone picks up the phone and you talk to them. And for me, I pray so hard that I've actually got the right person at that moment. Because what's happened to me a few times is, oh, that's not my department. So I will direct you to another person. And then you have to go into another person in their department and go into their queue or wait until you can actually talk to them. And I've decided whenever I have to do this, I'm going to psych myself for like a 30-minute to one-hour journey to try to actually talk to a human being to change something that's going on in my plan or in my taxes or whatever it is. Now, sometimes it may seem as if God is like that. You just want to talk to him, but it seems like he's hard to reach. You have something going on in your life, and you want to share it with him, or you have a request of him, and it seems like there's no answer. Or at least he's shielded behind five layers of protection before you can actually talk to him. And we can especially feel this with unanswered prayers. We ask for something, and we don't receive it. Or things get worse. Or we seek an explanation. We desire to understand why things didn't go like we hoped that they would go. And maybe you have some unanswered prayer in your life right now. Something that's been going on that you've been praying about for a long time. Or you prayed and what you wanted didn't happen. And you're dealing with that news. And so the question today is, when our prayers go unanswered, how can we respond? And this continues our little mini-series through the Psalm 27, where we have seen, first of all, that we can face our enemies with confidence because the Lord is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. And then last week, we saw that drawing near to the Lord enables us to gaze upon his beauty and to inquire of his wisdom, and it brings us under his protection. And today we are going to tackle this reality of unanswered prayer. So we're going to first ask ourselves, what in fact do we mean by unanswered prayer? And then we're going to look at some reasons why our prayers may go unanswered. Then we'll see how the psalmist responded. And from what he shows us, we'll find a way that we can respond to unanswered prayer. So if you have a Bible, Psalm 27 is our text today, or you can follow along on the text. On the screen behind me, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is the Psalm of David. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet will I be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So today we're focusing on verses 7 to 10. And if you've been tracking with us through the first six verses of this psalm, you'll remember the psalmist is very confident. Confident to face his enemies without fear because of the Lord. Feeling protected by drawing near to the Lord or the house of the Lord, coming under his wisdom, his beauty, and his protection. But then the tone changes in verse 7. Did you notice that? He's more hesitant, desperate, concerned, struggling. He seems more uncertain. And we might think that this is inconsistent with the first six verses of this psalm. And yet, isn't it so like us? To in the morning wake up and we're all joyful because we sense the Lord's presence and he's leading us. And by the afternoon, with some of the things that have happened in our day, we wonder if God is even listening. Or one day we can see God and the plans that he has and how they're unfolding. And the next day something happens and our vision of God is blurred and we wonder if he even cares. So this psalm reflects the reality of the human condition of walking with God. Sometimes we're walking closely and confident with him, and other times we wonder if he's listening. That's an unanswered prayer. And let's think for a moment what we actually mean by unanswered prayer. We all have experiences in life where there's a barrier of communication between us and others. Say we send someone a text or an email and we see after a while it has not yet been read or viewed. Or we call someone on their phone and the ringtone just keeps going on and on and on and eventually maybe goes to their voicemail. And then we make our conclusions. Oh, maybe they're busy, maybe they're sleeping, maybe they can't pick up right now. Maybe their phone is off, maybe it's not working, or maybe they're intentionally not answering. But we can't transfer these same reasons onto God. God is never too busy to respond. He never sleeps. He was always present and alert. His communication does not get threatened by a low phone battery or a low battery on a phone, and nothing prevents him from responding to communication. So, unanswered prayer is something different than our normal barriers to communication. And if answered prayer involves God saying yes to our requests, unanswered prayer occurs when God says no or doesn't provide an immediate answer. So you ask for God's help to get that job and someone else gets it. Or you ask for healing for your loved one and they don't get better. Or you ask him to save your lost person in your family, and they're still lost after months or years of praying. We label that unanswered prayer, when God says no or does not provide an immediate yes. And then we might struggle or question or wonder what God is doing. However, we need to recognize that there are several valid reasons why our prayers might go unanswered. And I got some of this from Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. So why might our prayers go unanswered? Well, the first reason is God keeps hidden his wise plans for the future. God is God, and we are his creatures, and we don't get to have an inside view into all that God is doing and why he is doing it. We need to accept that he is infinitely greater and wiser than we are, and we need to trust that he will reveal what we need to know when we need to know it. Think about the Jews who prayed for centuries for the Messiah to come. But the Messiah did not come until it was the fullness of time, and then God sent his Son, according to Galatians 4:4. Or think about Job. As far as we know, God never explained to him the reason for all of these disasters in his life. And prayers can go unanswered for a long time because the time has not yet come. Romans 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." Meaning we can't scrutinize them. We can't examine everything and figure it all out. Our prayers can seem unanswered because God has hidden or keeps with hidden his wise plans for the future. That's one reason. Another reason why we might experience unanswered prayer is we do not always pray according to God's will. James 4 verses 1 to 3 says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." And God will not answer yes to a request to bless us in our sin. "Oh God, I'm planning to rob my neighbor's house, so please make sure the police don't show up." Or, "God, please bless me to fulfill my desires however I want to, even if it goes beyond the boundaries of your word." No. And I'm embarrassed to admit a prayer request I made about 25 years ago. I was listening to a program that challenged pastors to dream big dreams and visions and pray about them and ask God to fulfill them. And so we lived in Western Ottawa at that time in a place called Nepean, and I was pastoring a church of around 70 people who were wonderful and welcoming. But I prayed that one day I would pastor a great church known throughout the national capital region. And God did not answer that prayer with a yes. And I'm so glad that he didn't. First, because that prayer was not about God's glory, but my glory. And second, God knew I couldn't handle that. I did not have the skill, maturity, or character to handle such a thing. So when that didn't happen, it was a mercy from the Lord. And sometimes our prayers remain unanswered because we don't ask according to God's will. Thirdly, our prayers may go unanswered because we've been living in ongoing rebellion against God. If we live in a way that constantly dishonors God, why would we expect him to give us whatever we want? It's kind of like a teenager or a young adult constantly disrespecting and rebelling against their parents for weeks and months and years, and then asking for financial help to go on vacation. "Hey, Mom and Dad, I want to go party with my friends on spring break in California. Can you pay for it?" No. No. Or listen to the Lord's response to the Israelites' potential rebellion against him in Deuteronomy 31, verse 18. The Lord says, and I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. So the Lord would not listen or answer their prayers while they were worshiping other gods. Or Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So God is not obligated to grant our requests, especially when we rebel against him. And we may also experience unanswered prayer because we do not ask in faith. James 1 verses 5 to 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So sometimes we might ask God something, not out of faith, but maybe because of a dare, or because we want to test God. Oh, let's see if God comes through on this one. And if we don't ask in sincerity or trust, our prayers may go unanswered. So we've got these four reasons why our prayers might be unanswered. And then we have to recognize that we are not the first Christians in history to deal with unanswered prayer. In fact, unanswered prayer is part of every Christian's walk and life, and it's happened to some very prominent, famous people. Think about Jesus. His unanswered prayer, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. And the Lord said no. And Jesus went to the cross. Think about Paul, who asked three times for the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh. Yet the Lord said no. And I will provide sufficient strength and grace for you in your weakness. Think about David, who prayed for his young son's life to be saved, but it wasn't saved. Think about martyrs, those killed for their faith throughout history, who prayed for deliverance that did not come. And Revelation 12:11 tells us, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So we are not the first people to face unanswered prayer. It is a common Christian experience. So we have these several reasons why our prayers might go unanswered. We are beginning to recognize it's a common Christian experience. How then might we respond when it happens to us? Well, let's see how the psalmist responded. First, I want you to notice the psalmist's cry. Verse 7, again, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Now, when do we cry out loud? Usually we cry quietly in our hearts. I can't believe that. I can't believe that happened. Or we don't even verbalize it or show it outside, but inside our hearts are crying out. But here the psalmist is crying out loud. And the Lord does not need to hear us speak to hear our prayers, but he is so desperate, so concerned that he's speaking out loud his cry to the Lord, and he asks the Lord for grace. Please be gracious and answer me. He doesn't assume the Lord will answer. He doesn't demand it. He recognizes that the Lord is the Lord, that he is the human. And he continues with this humble approach. In verse 8, he remembers the Lord's command to seek my face, and the Lord wants us to seek him because he knows that's the best thing for us. That will provide the deepest satisfaction for our soul. And so he resolves, I will seek your face. And yet, this section begins with the psalmist's cry. And then I want you to notice the psalmist's concern. He is very concerned for the Lord to hear his prayer. So he asked the Lord not to do four things. First, hide not your face from me. And in those times, the face was considered the organ of favor or disfavor. depending on whether it is turned towards or turned away, whether it is shining on you or frowning on you. And here the psalmist says, turn not your face away from me. People hid their faces when they saw lepers on the street, a sign of, oh, I turn away from you. I don't want anything to do with you. And sometimes the Lord did hide his face from a rebellious people, as we just saw in Deuteronomy 31, verse 18. So the psalmist appeals for the Lord not to do this. And then he says, turn not your servant away in anger. In ancient times, a master had decisive authority over the servant. And if the servant angered the servant was gone if the master decided that. There was no appeals process. There was no supervisor of the master that you could go to or grievance policy. No, you were gone. And the psalmist appeals to the Lord to not do this in his anger. And then he appeals for the Lord to cast him not off. The image of leaving behind or like throwing one off of your cart or under or away from your protection. And finally, do not forsake me or completely abandon me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a hard picture of God to stomach. Hiding his face from his people, turning people away in anger, casting them off, forsaking them. Yet, God is seen hiding his face from rebellious people in the Old Testament especially. Jesus will return to bring a righteous judgment and cast out those who have rejected him on Judgment Day. These do represent part of God's holy and loving character. And the psalmist is taking that in and has heard about this and says, as I pray, Lord, please don't do these things to me. Yet I also think that the psalmist's desperate feelings play a part. He is expressing his heart. And the cries of the Psalms are not always theologically accurate. Some of them accuse God of wrongdoing, even though God can never do wrong. And when we're desperate and we don't sense the Lord's presence or help, we might feel like those cast out or abandoned, even though God has not done this to us. Yet in expressing our feelings, it may allow us to think more clearly. And this is what the psalmist may have done. He cries out and expresses his concern. And then thirdly, notice the psalmist's confidence. After crying out, after expressing his concern, he's still confident in the Lord. At the end of verse 9, he calls him God of my salvation. He still trusts the Lord as his Savior. And then comes verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That is a tough verse. We don't have any record of David's parents actually abandoning him. There might have been a time, maybe when David was king and made some poor decisions, that they kind of maybe turned away for a while or something, but we have no record of it. And most commentators don't think this refers to a literal disowning of David by his parents. Remember, this is poetry, and it may be that David uses the child abandonment picture to make a point. Both parents forsaking their child is one of the worst forms of abandonment. We expect our mom and dad to stick with us, especially when we're vulnerable little kids, and back us up, even when we make some huge mistake. And many of you have been blessed by parents who have backed you up when you've made huge mistakes. Some of you have done that with your own children. And yet others of you may have the experience of a parent who has forsaken you, maybe literally abandoned you, or emotionally abandoned you, or spiritually abandoned you, or maybe they constantly criticized you and tore you down. And it is a terrible thing to experience abandonment, especially by your father or mother. Yet even in that worst case scenario, David expresses confidence in the Lord. For my mother and father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. We can experience abandonment from the people closest to us, yet the Lord will not forsake his own people, his believers. And in these verses then, David shows us a way to respond to unanswered prayer. And it's simply this: when our prayers go unanswered, we must continue to seek the never forsaking Lord with humility. When our prayers go unanswered, we may get angry, we may let loose at God, we may accuse him. God can take it. And after we've done that, we need to step back and regain our perspective. God is not five layers removed, like a customer service agent. God does not cut off contact with us. God does not get moody or have hurt feelings, so he needs some alone time away from us for a while. He may not answer our prayer with a yes. He may call us to wait on his timing. He may not reveal his wise, infinite purposes, but he will not forsake us. And how do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus endured the ultimate forsakenness on the cross. You know that most disturbing, famous cry of Jesus from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? What was happening there? Well, the Father turned his loving face away from his own son and instead poured out his wrath, his punishment for our sin upon his son. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Or Romans 3, 23 to 25, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all who believe are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood to be received by faith. So Jesus endured this forsakenness by his Father for a few hours on the cross so that we might never be forsaken by the Father. His blood atoned or paid the price for our sin. We can receive the blessing and benefit of Christ's work by faith. And if you have never done this, God calls you to respond by faith or in faith today. And through your faith, he will come into your life, immediately declaring you not guilty forever based on Christ's blood payment. He will adopt you into his family. He will never leave or forsake you, though you will have to endure and figure out your way through unanswered prayers. Yet it does not mean the Lord has forsaken us. I well remember an unanswered prayer in my life that was very personal, very close to home. It was 2005, and my dad was very sick, so I prayed again and again for the Lord to heal him. And things just got worse until eventually I had to come out to Calgary, lived in Ottawa at the time, and God worked on my heart to let my dad go. And I so appreciated the Lord's help in this. He walked with me to accept and release my earthly father when it was time, God's time. And our family entered into that sorrowful celebration, rejoicing in what Dad had gained, mourning in our loss of Dad. So we need to lean in to who God really is and not who we want him to be and the answers we want him to give. And when our prayers go unanswered, we must continue to seek the never forsaking Lord with humility. And so as we close today, remember those unanswered prayers in your life for a moment. I want to lead you in a directed prayer to practice this approach to the Lord. So let's bow our heads and think for a moment about some unanswered prayer in your life. And now, holding that in one hand, we will adore the Lord as great and loving and merciful and wise. We adore you, Lord, as great, loving, merciful, and wise. And now, admit your struggle with the unanswered prayer that you're thinking of. Maybe an unsaved loved one, a friend or family member, or yourself not healed, some situation not resolved, some personal ongoing struggle, some problem. Admit your struggle. And then affirm your faith in the Lord. Lord, you are good. You are all wise. You are all knowing. The Lord has your best in mind. He is at work for your good. He loves you. And then ask for strength from the Spirit to continue your walk with the Lord through unanswered prayer. And Lord God, you know all the situations that have been lifted up to you right now, the thoughts, the hurts, the struggles, the frustrations, yet we are reminded of your goodness, your care, your love, your willingness, Lord Jesus, to be forsaken so that we never would be. And so we trust you, O Lord, with our unanswered prayers today and ask for your strength to continue as we wait and walk day by day. Amen.